Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Dave Holly. That's why the show's called the Dave Holly Hour. Oh, the marketing department just went to town on that, didn't they? And this is episode 39. For the most part, we've only missed a couple of times. It's a new episode each and every Thursday morning. And so glad to be here to tell you about Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment. We're going to have a fun one today. Trust me. Lots of laughs, lots of giggles. In fact, may even take one and make some sound effects out of it as well. Our guests today include the man that from here on out after this interview will be known as the flexible bassist, Ruben Rodriguez. And then, if you've been paying attention and you're one of those that follows my Facebook posts and so forth and takes a look at the website and all the other stuff, you know that of late, I've been using a caricature. The man who drew it is Chuck Bennis, and he's going to be with us later on in the hour as well. For those of you listening for the first time, based in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and the area around it we call the Sioux Empire, my passion is arts and entertainment, and I love talking to people that are passionate about their art or entertainment. And today, those two that I already mentioned, wow, passion galore when it comes to what they do. So that is one thing you have to look forward to. Also, one of the other things we do on a weekly basis is we give a little shout out, a little nod, perhaps, to something that's been fun in the week that has made me smile, chuckle, laugh, guffaw, slap my knee silly, maybe shed a tear of happiness, something along that line, kind of just a good feeling thing, or it may have maybe even just made me go, that was kind of cool, wasn't it? And we call it Honorable Mention. As you know, if you've been listening before, I have had it go out to friends. I've had it go out to previous guests. I even one time had it go out to a guest that was on that particular show. And I've also given it out to some anonymously, people that I've never met or only met briefly. Or like the one time in the car going down the wrong way, actually on the sidewalk on Minnesota Avenue. And then I just gave it out for stupidity's sake that day. Anywho, last Friday was a great day. My wife already knew that her oldest and the two grandkids were going to be coming down, having lunch, and going out to the zoo. I had to work. Well, it was slow that day, so I took what they call VTO, voluntary time off. I was able to get it, so I was able to have the afternoon off and do all of the above along with them, which I knew was going to fill my heart regardless. I mean, those two little apples of my eye, just incredible. 9-year-old Harper is one of the most caring people you will ever meet. Forget about it being a child. A caring person, one of the best. And then 17-month-old Jack, he's just so fun to be around. So I knew it was going to be a good day. So we have a little picnic in Sherman Park right next to the Great Plains Zoo. Then we go in and we're walking around and taking in all the exhibits that we can because there's a lot of stuff shut down right now because of the COVID and the coronavirus. So we weren't able to see everything we might be able to if the world were back to normal. And of course, there's the little petting zoo area for the kids. Well, I had my phone out, you know, what is now known as a camera. So I have my camera phone ready to go, and Jack's got his head between this little window area to look right at the goats. Well, standing next to him is a little girl, a little older, and quite a cute little girl, too. But, you know, see, Jack's already pretty handsome, so I think he's got it going on, if you know what I mean. Anywho, her grandpa is with her. Well, I missed the picture after the grandpa had given Jack a little pellet of food to give to the goat. And then he says, oh, no. He says, we have to do this over. Grandpa didn't get the picture. So to that anonymous man, but fellow grandfather, you, sir, are the winner of this week's coveted honorable mention. Okay, when we come back, we are going to hear from a wonderful artist in the later part of the hour, Chuck Bennis. But up next, yes, truly, we're going to make an animated cartoon, or we're going to have, you know, some sort of a doll and call it the Flexible Bassist. We are just going to call him Ruben Rodriguez for now. And he's up next on the Dave Holly Hour.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
People ask him where he got his top shelf voice. Dime store. Bargain bin. Once again, here is Dave Holly.
Welcome back to yet another Dave Holly Hour, and we've got a fun one lined up for you right now, I tell you. This guy is just, he comes in smiling, laughing, he's ready to rock and roll.
Let's do it.
And he plays jazz, too, which I love. And that is actually how we met, because yes. Been able to get down to our wine bar a lot lately, and kept going. You know, it's obviously, first of all, three is one of my favorite numbers. It's a godly number, along with seven, so... 3, 7, they're both awesome.
The prime numbers.
Right. So we've got trios. 3 weeks in a yes. row of trios. 3 different trios, except for 3 weeks in a row, the same person playing bass. It's like, I gotta meet this guy. So we start chatting. And find out that he just happened to have a big deal going on in Nashville this week, but yeah. Said, nah, no, actually got canceled so that he was free to talk to us. And so you can hear all about Ruben Rodriguez, who is, first of all, an incredible bass player.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate man. It, man. You can plunk away on that. What's the verbiage you prefer to say about playing bass?
Boo. Oh, man. I think just playing bass is awesome. Okay. That's it. Just top down.
But you don't have a favorite word for it, like plunking
it? Oh, thumping the bass.
Thumping it? That's yours? I mean, okay.
Like plucking the bass.
Yeah.
I guess I just play some bass. Actually, with my bass student, usually I'll text her and I'll be like, hey, what's up? Are you ready for a lesson tonight? She'll be like, all right, cool, let's do this. I'm like, all right, cool, let's play that bass. Yeah, so that's it, just playing
okay.
bass.
Playing
yeah.
bass. Yeah. All right, that works for me. What is it about jazz that you especially are good at? When you play bass?
That I'm good at? I would say I'm stylistically versatile. When I was a kid, I was a little bit rebellious, as I think a lot of us were. So I listened to a lot of like rock music and just kind of out there, like The Doors and Jimi Hendrix mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. But then when I got older, my parents found out that I was listening to kind of weird out rock stuff, which is like Rob Zombie and Deftones. They're like, okay, let's dial this in a little bit. And they're like, how about you try this? So as an alternative, they suggested I listen to some like Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers and some Herbie Hancock. And from that, that's really the whole spread of Western music. I mean, specifically Western music. And when I got in school, I was really interested in music theory, so I started chopping that down, and it really gave me an understanding of like all styles and kind of like dancing in between. So I think I'm just I don't know, flexible.
the flexible bass player.
Thank you.
Brought to you by. That sounds like you're going to even have an action figure with it then. Flexible bass player?
Oh, the flexible bass. Oh, man.
See, we've got, you have a new moniker now.
The flexible. Oh, my God. I'm into it. Let's do it.
Yeah, all right.
Like, it'll be like a Stretch Armstrong doll.
Or remember the old Gumby dolls?
The old Gumby, yes.
That would be a great. The flexible bass player will put a bass in front of
it. I'd be like second Pokey. I'd be the sidekick because it's a bass player.
Now, you play an interesting bass because you have the 5-string, right?
I do rock the 5-string. Yeah.
Yeah. What got you started on that?
That was more out of, function. Because it was... I was starting playing in churches, and initially we had a keyboard player and, you know, a guitar player and drummer and whatever. But when you wouldn't have a keyboard player, there was a lot of range that was left out. And with electric bass, what a lot of people don't know is that regular electric bass, the way that you see it just written on music, is actually kind of like in the middle of what the keyboard would be. So to get that like low end, I was like, all right, cool. Look, let's just get those extra notes. So I dropped into it, and then I joined a hip hop band. They were like, no, we need some like real thick bass. I'm like, all right, cool, let's do it. So I spent the extra $500 and we did it.
Oh, wow. That one string makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know what, though? It's so much fun. Makes running scale so much easier. It's fantastic.
Tell us what it is about playing a bass, though, versus a regular guitar, because, you know, people see it and go, okay, well, it's got 4 strings. You hear the low tones and everything.
Yeah.
It's a completely different way to approach an instrument, though, isn't it?
I would. Okay. All right. Let's unpack this one. So the cool part about guitar, the beautiful part about guitar, is that it is a chordal instrument. So with guitar, it's a lot about your choice of what chords and your voicings and like where you're putting it on the fretboard. But with bass, you're generally, I'm not saying you can't, but generally you're just playing one string at a time. Mm-hmm. So in doing that, you have to be very knowledgeable of the genre that you're playing, because bass lines are very iconic. So if you're playing like a funk line versus a Latin line versus a jazz line, those are all very, very separate. So you have to know your music theory. You have to know like what you're leading to. Like, so for the next chord, guitar player can just go straight from like G to C, C to D, whatever. But for a bass player, like, you have to kind of like allude to the other stuff. And man, that is a hell of a question. I didn't think about this stuff more. I wasn't ready for this conversation.
No, you answered fine.
Thank you.
you get high scores for that, young man. What got you into music? What, you talked about already the different styles you were listening to and so forth, but what is it about music that draws you in?
Oh, boy. Just.
Oh, I didn't ask too tough questions.
No,
did I?
No, you're asking great questions. I think what got me into music was when I was young, I grew up in, like, I was born in 87, so, like, the early 90s was, like, there was a lot of Michael Jackson on the radio and this and that, and it was just great. It was an exciting time for music, and mm-hmm. there was so many what are now, like, iconic pop artists just on the radio, and that was it. Like, it was cool. Like, you just turn on the radio, and it's like, you're good to go all day. And so I got into music, and then I started playing, I want to say, viola in fourth grade, and then, trumpet in fourth grade, viola in fifth. And it just kind of kept on progressing. But it wasn't until I became a high schooler that I became a dick, and my parents grounded me a lot. So I found a bass guitar.
That's
in the
what
basement.
I love about having a podcast. When, you know, old-fashioned days on the radio, kind of would have gone, we let it go because this is true.
Yeah, no, I heard Zach drop the S word. So yes, I was like, I can say dick, it's fine. but so I got grounded a lot, and that was my escape. That was the catharsis that I found was, so it's like, oh, hey, like, you did X, and it was like, and it wasn't like small X, it was usually large X. It was capital X. So it'd be like a couple of weeks, I'd just be kicking in the basement, and I would just listen to the radio and just like transcribe stuff just to the radio, just on a bass guitar. And then from there, I started playing at church, and that was brilliant because it gave me my first run at chord charts instead of specifically written music. So then I was forced to kind of like ballpark and learn by ear like what's going on. And so between transcribing and playing off chord charts, I kind of learned how to like flex, and then that lent itself into jazz band in high school and went on.
What's it like playing for so many different groups? Challenging, or is it something that you've just got such a knack for it that it comes naturally?
All right. So it's cool because the cats I play with are all so seasoned. They're all so
very true.
I don't think I play with anybody that I wouldn't describe as less than incredible. Like, they're great players. But it's a game of Yahtzee, straight up. Every time you have no idea what you're putting on the card, we're just like, we're rolling and we're going with it. But it's I would say there is a certain level of like a heightened awareness, because when you're playing with that kind of those kind of cats, like, you're always listening because it happens. And so like, if you're just playing with one band, you know your niche and you can create your part. But when you're playing with all these different bands, you have to be, once again, the flexible bass player. You have to be malleable. So I just kind of developed that silly putty mentality and worked my way into the scene, man.
Oh, the descriptors on the show today. We've got flexible bass player. You referred to yourself as being a dick in high school.
Oh, right. Dick in high school. Yeah.
And now, you know, silly putty. the thing, though, that, you know, despite the fact that I've seen you with three different groups, is that when it comes time for that bass solo, you still got it no matter what song's playing. And I have a pretty decent admiration of jazz to begin with.
Yes.
So these guys aren't playing the same songs each week from group to group. So when do you know that it's time that you're coming in and it's time for Ruben? Ruben, the flexible bass player.
Yeah, all right. So especially with the trio setting, it's such a raw and like visceral like dance that everyone's doing, because it really is like a tacit conversation. Like, everybody is throwing in their little bits and you listen to them as much as you want to, and you can disregard little points of it and you can contribute as much as you want. But when it's like your solo, especially on bass stuff, if you listen to old recordings, a lot of old recordings, you'll hear when people are doing double bass, the entire band will stop playing except for the drummer. Like, it'll be and then you hear it,
and we're keeping that for sound effects.
Yeah, please do. But it was because on double bass, like the classic orchestral bass is actually one octave beneath the electric bass, so you couldn't hear it, and they didn't have the recording equipment to do that live. So everybody would have to just stop playing in order for you to even hear that solo. And people still keep that mentality today, which I personally, I'm like, I'm playing an electric bass. You can hear me. You can give me a chordal background. I kind of get frustrated because I'm like, hey, man, give me something I can play against. I can go out and get crazy. But yeah, no, it's just, you just know. You know, every cat that you play with, you develop a certain reciprocity with, and just, you know what they're going at. You know when they're done talking, and you know when you should start talking. I talk too much.
No, you're doing fine. That's one of the things we love about this show.
Yes.
Is that it's a great time to have a conversation. So besides doing the bass, you said you played viola and trumpet.
Yeah.
Do you still play them?
I do not actively. I have played a bunch of instruments over the years. I was a music education major, so I had an interest. I had an interest in everything. Like, I liked percussion, and like this, I like that. I play guitar for my own solo project, the Heinous Four, and then I play bass for anyone that has money. And then I play keyboard.
Honesty.
You're like, hey, you got $5, let's do it. I play keyboard for a reggae band called the Tough Roots. Tough Roots, which is actually a great band. Check those guys out. Plugging myself. And that's it, man. I feel like just being musically diverse gives you just such an opportunity to and appreciate so many levels of music. It's awesome.
Now, did you take any piano lessons when you were a kid?
I took classroom piano lessons in college for two semesters. So I would say I took a grand total of, 9 months of piano. And then, all right, so I didn't start playing piano for this band because I auditioned and I got in. It was, so the bass player and the drummer for my band that I play guitar for the Heinous, for those guys, their keyboard player left. He went back to Minneapolis and he just dipped. So they were like, hey, we need a keyboard player. And I was like, I don't play keyboard at all. And they were like, nah, you play keyboard. I was like, all right, cool. So I joined a reggae band.
Because quite often when we talk to musicians on the show, there's a lot of piano in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for drummers.
Oh, God, yes.
There's always that's coming along.
For sure.
So you had, some pretty classical instruments that you were playing and so forth. Did that make it, because it sounds like you basically self-taught yourself for the bass.
Yep.
Did it make it easier to be able to do that because of playing, traditional instruments?
I think it developed my ear. I would say that, one of the coolest things I noticed, one of the cool things I noticed when I was in Minneapolis was a lot of the cats I played with that were just incredible players. I'll play at church. They were all gospel background kind of cats, and they would just all straight ear players. And what's cool about them is that they don't know theory, so they're not constricted by theory.
Yeah,
so they would just play crazy out there stuff that us classical cats would be like, what is happening right now with this guy? And he's just like, what is Tuesday? Like, he'd just be ripping. And so I think that what classical taught me was like, okay, this is a third, this is a fifth, this is a fourth. And so it trained me that general notion. And then from there, it just gave me a recipe to how to deconstruct the whole situation. So when I listen to a song, I could be like, oh, that's what that is. Oh, we're going from one to a five. Oh, we're going five to a six. Like, and that, yeah.
As you've aged, what do you, like I should talk, 57 versus 33 over here.
Oh, Jesus, no. You're so right.
So as you mature, do you find that ear is becoming even more tuned in and that you're finding things that you never would have thought you'd enjoy as music?
Stuff I didn't want to find.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Stuff I didn't want to find. Like, I'll be sitting, just hanging out, eating our appetizer at Applebee's, and I'll hear a song come on. I'm like, oh, that's one. Oh, okay, flat major seven. Oh, major seven. Oh, okay, four. Oh, minor four. I'm just like, God, I can't turn it off. That's awesome though, because it's kind of fun.
Yeah, because the thing that I've thought of as I get older is, there were songs that 20 years ago that were pop songs that I didn't care for.
Right.
And now I'm hearing him and going, that was a much better song than I ever gave it credit for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For real. when I grew up, it was a lot of 80s pop, mm-hmm. early 90s pop. My mom was big into Michael Bolton, Bette Midler. So I didn't have a lot of Earth, Wind, and Fire. The stuff I listen to now,
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Don't we all?
Oh.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, Rick James, Body, and Prince, and do you remember?
Yeah. Do you remember?
I look back and there was one band that this is going to be a contrarian statement. I'm not a big fan of the Beatles. Now, every time you say that, someone usually slashes back and they're like, oh, man, you should, go back to school or something. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I didn't say I want anything bad to have with the Beatles. I'm just saying I'm not a huge fan. But analyzing them musically, they're absolutely incredible.
Right.
And now I'm starting to get that once I get up into it. And also, there's a lot of really simple music that, if you sit down and take your time with it, go listen to, the music score for Nightmare Before Christmas and see what, what is his name? Oh, that's going to escape me. But to see what he really did with that score, he had 3 whole years to work on it because they were just doing the claymation. And it's absolutely incredible, all the intricacies that he put in that. It's amazing.
What do you like to see when you go out and listen to a band? What are you hoping comes out of that?
Jeez, a nasty drummer. straight
you
man,
like a good just solo, a, huh?
Just a gross drummer. Just a pocket. Just like cold molasses, just so thick and dirty. You're just like, ah, oh, Jesus, are we ever gonna get out of this? It's awesome. I love a sludgy blues band. I love like good funk music. I love, and everything in context too. I mean, like if you're doing, some soul music, you got some backup singers? Hell yes. You get three of those on the set? Yes, I'm into that. Some rock stuff. I mean, a guitar solo, I'm not ripping on guitar players, but you've heard 1,000 guitar solos today. So, I like hearing a keyboard solo. I like hearing some off center stuff. I like the weird stuff. Give me a didgeridoo.
Do you think that we're headed toward even, because, you know, there's the hip hop now, there's the rap and so forth. Mm-hmm. Do you think that we're going to start seeing more hybrid music? Combination crossovers?
Yeah, I think we have to some degrees, and there's obviously we've seen like a lot of like country rap mashups. Mm-hmm. Like we've seen like what Nelly did and that whole thing. I hope so. Music is just getting more diverse, and what's interesting is that style is being divided every day just based on people's experiences, because what you create is based on what you experience. So if you listen to Rob Zombie and Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers, you're gonna get me as a bass player. And so just extrapolate that. Now you have kids that have everything from like Return to Forever and Justin Bieber. So now you have like a greater spread. Yes, it's going to get more diverse, and yes, it's going to get more crazy, and it's going to be awesome.
What's been your favorite thing you've ever done in music?
It was August 2011.
Oh my goodness.
I peaked early. I peaked real early. We had this music festival. It was our second tour. This band called More Than Lights out of Minneapolis, and they were kicking butt up there. We had a couple sold out shows, and we at the Caboose up there, and that was competing with Brother Ali, who was at First Ave. So it was like this crazy weekend and whatever, and then we went on a tour afterwards. And so in that, we ended up at this festival called the, I believe it was the Sawtooth Music Festival in the Sawtooth Mountains, and it was just cool. It was a small festival, a couple thousand people, like whatever. They had no idea who we were at all. Mm-hmm. We just pulled in, and we were like, hey, we're the Friday night band. And they were like, all right. So they let us in.
The good old Blues Brothers Boys band.
We play country and western. Oh my God! True words have never been said. Yeah. So we showed up there. Thank God there's no chicken wire. We're on the stage, and we ripped it, man. And like we just crushed this festival. And I think it was the first time I played to like a couple thousand people, and it like blew my mind that these people had never heard us before. They were kind of into it. And it was cool because we were doing original music, and it wasn't about anything catchy. It wasn't anything about like, oh yeah, we heard your stuff and we're into this, or there was no marketing. We didn't need to sell you on it. It was just good music and you were into it, and we had that moment. It was cool. So yeah, that's the coolest thing I've done in music.
Excellent. All right, so when you're not playing music yourself, what do you like to go out and take in for entertainment?
Oh boy, I try to be a homebody. I find myself out a lot, much to my chagrin. My roommate's a bartender, so I go out to cook food at home, and then I'll like bring him some, and then somebody'll be like, hey you, and I'll be like, hey you, and he'll be like, you want a drink? And I'm like, yes. So we'll hang out, but for the most part, I mean, just in my private time, I just I hang out with my girl and my little dude, and it's a really good time.
Like, what kind of hobbies?
I do a little bit of woodworking. I like to read. I like to write. I like to actually reading. I've really gotten into politics, which has been weird for me over the last year, because I originally thought I was like of a liberal mindset, and then Then I started, I was like, you know what? You can't have a mindset unless you understand the other side. So I started reading more of the other side. I was like, oh, maybe I'm this. And then I started reading more and now I have no idea what I am. So I've just been reading a lot, just trying to get up on world stuff and seeing how it affects us on a daily basis.
That's wonderful. I tell you what, you have been so much fun having here on the show and to see, you know, that's the great thing about live music. Is you get such an experience out of it. And I especially love how that this area, this community has exploded over the past few years with arts and entertainment.
Yes.
And so many more places to go see somebody play.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for a big national group to come in and go out to the Denny or anything along that line. You got people up and down the street.
Oh, yeah.
Literally up and down the street playing.
I did that, swear to God, last summer. I just walked up and down Phillips Avenue.
Yeah.
Just my acoustic. Yeah, I just sat at, like, in front of a place and I just play. And like people start tipping. I was like, I didn't want money. I just wanted to play music for you. That was it. Yeah, but I'm not the only one. This city is so beautiful and it's so incredible. And there's so many people coming in from, what was it? In 2009, there was some study done like that nationally, like Sioux Falls was one of the fastest geographically growing cities like in the country. Like the population has obviously exploded from like what, 120,000 to now almost pushing 200,000?
I grew up 30 miles away from here, and when I was in high school, it was 60,000.
And look at us now.
190, almost 200, yeah.
Yeah, and look at us, and it's brilliant, it's fantastic. Yeah. To people, whoever is listening to this, like if you live in the Sioux Falls area, go out to shows. Don't worry about Jazz Fest or anything like that. Believe me, if you look just a little bit, there's shows five nights a week. Yeah. Go check them out. Put your mask on if it makes you feel better. Do whatever you need to do. But go see shows. Support local music. Support local business.
But I've enjoyed not just listening to you, but watching you play. You know, arts and entertainment and talking about it and talking to people in it is my passion.
Yeah.
But I love watching the people that have a passion for what they're doing in it.
And this made me. This made me.
Ruben Rodriguez, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking some time to be on the Dave Holly Hour.
It was my distinguished pleasure.
I appreciate that, my friend. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, I'm Zach Tresh. And I love Books and Brews Pizza. So does my friend Dave. In fact, the latest pizza on the Books and Brews Pizzeria menu is called The Podcaster, inspired by Dave. Now you have a chance to win pizza with a podcaster. Go to DaveHollyHour.com. Go to the contact page and send an email. Put pizza with a podcaster in the subject line. Then in the comments, tell them what your favorite episode was, or maybe even who your favorite guest has been. You could even say, Zach Dresch. Since I've been on a couple of times. Then the first show each month, Dave will draw a winner for pizza with a podcaster. Yeah, that means Dave will be there with you and maybe even your favorite guest, like Zach Tresh. Enter as often as you like. Remember, DaveHollyHour.com, contact, email, pizza with a podcaster in the subject line, and show faves in the message. After all, Books and Brews is the original Dave's fave. Pizza with a podcaster. Brought to you by Books and Brews Pizzeria, downtown Sioux Falls. It's weekend eve, another Thursday has come around, and we are happy to talk arts and entertainment. It's been a while since we've had the luck of having an artist on, and this one in particular, you have seen some of his work already. This is the man that has done the caricature of yours truly from Brookings, South Dakota, a place that I also worked years ago. Chuck Bennis, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Good to see you, Dave.
Good to see you.
Good to see you in person.
Exactly.
So when I drew you from photos
from a photo,
hadn't actually met. And so that's one of my enjoyments of this is when you meet somebody that you've drawn and like I know you, and then you always say, did I get it or did you know like
I think I got you pretty good.
I think you got me great.
Yep.
And others have as well. They've complimented your work on it. And so then, of course, and it's funny because we're down here at Woodgrain recording, as we do so often. And what happens? But one of the owners comes up and says, hey, I'm a fan of your work. We're friends on Facebook.
Happens all the
time.
Can
you do some work for us?
Yep. Happens all the time. And that's that, too, is that's couldn't be the biggest compliment, you know, like, hey, I saw it and I have an idea I want to use for what I'm doing. And then you get to hear the whole story of, you know, the business and what they want to accomplish and their vision. And that's the type of art I love, is to, you know, help somebody achieve that through a visual medium.
And,
so.
And you do it quite well.
Thank you.
And you're doing lots of it, too.
Yes, I am doing a lot of it.
And while you do a lot of caricatures, and too cheaply, I might add, you're underselling yourself there. Because you've been doing a lot of murals as well.
Yes, yep.
And you're wearing a Brookings t-shirt, yep. And I knew you had done at least one up there. How many have you done there?
In Brookings, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and a 7th going up, and then an 8th in the works.
Oh, wow.
And they're mostly all my Brookings work is pretty much all indoors. You know, there's libraries and churches and the Boys and Girls Club. And so I need to, but one of the ones in the works is a possible outdoor one.
Oh.
So they're doing a big artist alley, where they're planning on doing, you know, several pieces from several different artists. And so I hope to get a spot in that run. So
I have the feeling you just might. I'm feeling good about it. I've got that. And one of the things we talk about quite often when it comes to the musical artists that join me on the show, or the stage artists and so forth, is that the Sioux Empire does not have a real competitive spirit amongst it. It's really more of a collaborative between everybody. Mm-hmm. You find that the same in the art part of it as well? Obviously, you're competing for jobs when it comes to a commission type thing.
You know, I find that interesting subject, because artists typically are pretty, you know, they are competitive and hold on to their secrets and aren't really ones to share, and you know, and but here you are correct. I think there is much more of that here, and I definitely am. I totally embrace that too. Where, you know, if somebody comes to me with a project, and I know somebody else, you know, another artist locally that could be better for that, I'll for sure, you know, like, I'll say, hey, you know what, I could do it, but here's a person.
Right.
And I've done that a few times, and you know, it's, you know, you're giving work up. I mean, it's right. But every time it's returned tenfold. And so one example is the artist that referred you to me.
Exactly. My downstairs neighbor.
Yes. Yes. And we do that all the time, because she does wedding paintings and stuff, which I don't do. And so I'm constantly, you know, hey, have you seen this? And then she does the same thing, where, you know, she's like, I do, you know, these, you know, portraits and, you know, worked paint, you know, paintings of more realistic, and that's not so. I do more of the fun, you know, fun cartoon things, and so we know. And
where do you put a line on difference between a caricature and a cartoon, and then even a line drawing?
You know, a caricature is, and mine actually go more towards cartoon and portrait.
Mm-hmm.
A true caricature is exaggeration. And when you say caricature, if
Kirk
people,
Douglas's chin.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You, whatever their face, and you can't exaggerate everything, because so if you do a big nose, big chin, big forehead, and then it's everything's big and they're normal again. So you really have to look at somebody's face and accentuate what defines them, and you know how they look, you know, like what makes them them. And some things I like is one is, if you do it right, it'll look more like the person than the person. you know, and so
understandable.
You know, if the artist can pick out those little things that make you unique and somebody else sees it, there's like, oh my gosh, you know, like that's him. And that, you know, when you do that, you never know. I'm usually fairly conservative when I draw people because I the intent is not to be mean or or anything. And you know, so if when you're doing that, when you pick out a feature, if that feature happens to be something that that person isn't proud of or you know doesn't want people to think they notice, you know, then that's. You know, then I have lost a lot of friends where they're like, that's how you see me? Like, gee, you know, and I'm like, no, well, that's, but most people are like, yeah,
you know, it's my interpretation of you.
Yep, that's how I look and embrace it. And not only art and visual art is caricatures, so anything that's exaggerated. So, you know, one example is like hot rods.
Oh,
so
true.
Hot rod is a caricature of a car, you know, like the real vehicle that you get in and drive. You know, they've you know, blew the motor up and they've, you know, got the tires all big and it's jacked up. Yes, it's a caricature of a car. Food, you know, there's some food that people either totally simplify. So if you talk about some fast food that's a wimpy burger, I mean, it's really a caricature of food. You know, it's so simplified. And when I draw, one of the things that fascinates me is trying to figure out, it's a problem solving of drawing somebody in four lines and having somebody else recognize that as a person. Like if I can, when I do that, and it doesn't happen that often, but you know, when you can do that, that's very exciting to me. And there's so many artists that are so much better than I am, you know, like where you sit down and they can, like they just do it right in front of you in 10 minutes and it's like they nail everything. It's funny, you know, it's funny, which a lot of times characters are funny. It's funny. It has a great likeness. It has a great style. It's, you know, it's simple. And that it's amazing when you see some people work and that can do that. So,
all right. So when you got the job to draw me, where did you start?
Like with the, where do I start in the process of?
Well, what struck you about old Dave here?
Well, for you.
And the hair obviously can't be one of them.
Well, and so you know, you've got your glasses and
true.
Your beard.
Yes.
You know, those are very signature.
Very
things.
Much so.
Yep. And you know, those are. Accessories almost, you know, like, you know, so if you would shave your beard and take your glasses off, do you think anyone recognize
no,
it?
No, but
and
then
take
I
your
am
headphones
a,
off?
But then I am a cartoon because I look like Mr. Magoo.
So things like that, I appreciate, you know, that actually makes my job a little easier of, you know, like where, you know, there's some caricatures of, you know, these famous people that, you know, like maybe they're known for their glasses and it's just a circle with their glasses and you go, yep, that's...
Well, the ironic part is, one of the things that I sent you was that figure that you see so often if you're a big Chicago Cubs fan of Harry Carey.
Yes, that's one of them.
Big glasses and, you know,
and,
that
and
pretty
that
simple
just,
line drawing.
Oh, it was very simple. Like, yeah, you know, it's nose and mouth or were you know, yeah, pretty, you know, it could be anybody almost, but yeah you could recognize, you're like, that's Harry Carey. Because that's, you know, they captured what, it, you know, because he's very much a... animated character. Now that's one thing that, you know, I didn't have was, you know, when you do have a video of somebody or know them in real life of, you know, how their mouth moves and how,
true.
You know, how they look and are they a upbeat, happy person? You know, like, do you, like some people, if you didn't draw them with a smile, like for me, I'm a smiley
that
guy,
you are.
You know? And so if you draw me or even take a picture of me not smiling, it's like, what's wrong? Or, yeah, that's not Chuck. So that's, you know, when you're working from photos, that can be an interesting thing. And then, you know, depending what photos you get, you know, you sent very good reference photos, you know, fairly professional, but sometimes I'll get ones where they're wearing hat and sunglasses and it's just like, all right, well, this
what
is
are we
be,
looking
this,
for out of this?
This is going to be challenging.
Yeah.
One time I got somebody's race wrong. They sent me a picture and it was like the color was very adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I drew what I saw.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, that I'm, you know, well, I'm this. And I'm like, I apologize. Sorry.
It's ironic you say that because I did a performance down in Omaha for a friend one time, and he had taken one of my pictures, a professional portrait that I had, not a caricature or anything, and he took it to a sign shop to have a sign made for me while I was there.
Yeah.
And my skin color was off considerably in that. Yeah.
So that's one of the I enjoy that part of the challenge of, you know, and I also like, you know, part of caricature is that reaction of, hey, it looks like me. It doesn't look like me.
Right.
Other people saying that looks like you wouldn't believe how many times we have the person say, that looks exactly like me. Thank you. And then everyone else is like, no, not even close. Or completely opposite, where they're like, that looks nothing like me. And then everybody around them are like, nailed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it depends on what you're, you know, how, some people don't see, they see themselves, maybe they see themselves younger, they see themselves thinner, they see themselves, everyone has a, mental image of what they look like. That's not the case. Maybe in radio, I'm sure you have people, what you think they sound like.
True.
And, you know, you hear yourself on a recording, which is one of my huge phobias. When I listen back to myself, I'm like, oh, these poor people listening stumble around.
Well, you know, whoever would have thought that Casey Kasem was only about 5'3"?
Yeah, he has this big, 7-foot voice. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then to know that he was Shaggy. So what got you into this? I mean, how did you decide art-wise, you know, this is my style?
Well, for caricatures in particular, I have a great story of when I was middle school or so, and I've never been, like, art has never come easy to me. It's always been, like, it's a struggle to do it and, you know, redo it and keep working at it, and you know, it never flowed. But one time I was in class and I drew my history teacher, and it wasn't supposed to be public, and my friend saw it, and all of a sudden he's hovering over me and goes, you know, what's the commotion back here? And I'm like, oh geez, you know, and it was not a flattering cartoon. I'm like, and I'm covering it and hiding it, and, you know, just built. He sees it. And I'm waiting to go to the office, and, you know, because I'm, you know, not only am I disrupting the class, but, you know, it could be seen as, you know, not so flattering. And he looks at it and he's like, well done. And he hung it behind his desk.
Uh-huh.
And I would see, like, multiple times during the year, he'd walk and sit down at his desk and he'd look at it and, like, get a smile. And I'm like, and that was like, and I'm still chasing that to that this day. I'm sure if I'd see it, it was probably this rough, you know, on a little scrap of stripe, you know, lined paper, rough. And I'm sure it was not, you know, technically good at all, but it captured him. And he was a human cartoon anyway, so he was easy, you know, he was an easy one to draw. So I've literally been chasing that dragon ever since of, you know, trying to figure out what makes people look like they are. And I study other character artists, and it's, you know, here I've been doing it for, you know, how many years, and it's still just as exciting to see how other people, other artists view people. And so, I don't know, that's it. And, you know, how you said I was underpriced, I like it to be the candy of my art, you know, like
okay,
something that everyone can have access to, and I can do them pretty quick, you know, like sometimes it takes me 10 minutes. And so,
well, in fact, how has the digital world changed caricature, cartoon, and so forth?
Well, as far as sharing and my consumption of other artists, it's fantastic. Like here, I'm so into this art form, and you know, all these art forms, and I'll never cease to be amazed that I'll log on to Instagram. Instagram's my go-to for art because it's a very visual platform, and I'll bring up some artist that has 100,000 followers, you know, like must be very well known. I've never heard of them. They've got stuff that I love. And I'm like, how has this person, like, And it happens every day. Like every day you find somebody that you have something in common with, or, you know, that really, and so that's the magic of online. And when I would draw, like, the medium, you know, using pen and ink, you know, I love Mad Magazine, and, you know, you look at how crisp their lines are, and, you know, this was before digital.
Right.
And, you know, as a young artist, you're like, that's like, it's a magic trick. You know, like how do they get these lines so perfect? And I chased that for so long. And with digital, that's where I found, you know, that nice thick black line that's just so uniform, and you get the little whip at the end. It's just, and so I'm nerding out for your
that's what we like about this show.
People are like, what?
And one of the other titles could have been, or subtitle at least, Off the Rails.
Yeah.
We let it go wherever it goes. Yeah. That's the beauty of this show. We enjoy it. And we're talking with Chuck Bettis, and he is passionate about the artwork that he does. Caricatures, cartoons, line drawings, and then bigger stuff.
Murals.
Murals, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, which have been huge. No pun intended.
Yeah, pun intended, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And that too, to have your work, you know, out in public and transform a space, and everything. It's so exciting. It's so exciting. I have one real close to where we're sitting right now at Wood Green Brewery. There's I did a piece of a huge bicycle across from the Orpheum Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also, it's five artists that we all did a spot on a long wall.
And spectacular. It's just a great, great part, yes, of this community.
Yeah, and every time I'll go and I'll stop, there's the sense of community is unbelievable. I just stopped there to do a protective covering, and it was this is almost a year old now, a constant stream of people coming and taking pictures, and I got to meet people, and they're like, oh, you're the artist.
Yeah.
And when I first came up, the night that I started that painting, I start at night because I'll project it up to get it all the, you know, get the get it all centered and all the layout correct, and so I was leaving Brookings at, you know, 8 o'clock at night, and my wife says, "Is it really safe to be downtown Sioux Falls alone at night?" And I'm like, I didn't even think of it. You know, I'm just like, well, yes. And I'm like, maybe. And then on my drive down, I'm like, should I really have, you know, like, should I go stop, get some pepper spray? And anyway, so I got down here, and it was a constant stream of, I live here, welcome to the neighborhood, we love what you're doing. And you know, it was nothing but love. And so, you know, for Sioux Falls, I'm just like, oh my God, you know, like, you know, that really gave me the feels of, you know, what a special thing. And just how, so here I was in a parking lot at night, and this artwork was bringing people together. And, you know, other people came up and they were talking, and me, and I'm just like, how powerful is that? You know, like, that's what it's all about. And so then people take pictures, show it on social media, and it just keeps going. So
excellent. Yeah. And it's providing you a nice income.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're making a living doing this.
Which that was never the intent or plan. You know, I had a entirely different career. I worked for the YMCA here in Sioux Falls I worked for the YMCA for 20 years. It was my very first job when I was 14 years old. And then I went to school to be an art teacher, but the Y kept me. And so I continued that up until a few years ago. And then I switched gears to be a stay-at-home dad. And literally, so I hadn't done art in a while. And during nap time and stuff, I'd be doing my caricatures and stuff just for free, you know, mm-hmm. just for gifts and things. And I'd post what I was doing. And then somebody would ask me, and they're like, yeah, what do I owe you? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't think about that. And I've never really asked for business. Like, it's all, I like to say it's all, you know, organic, and it's just amazing. And even the murals, like, that was somebody else's idea. They're like, could you do something big? And, you know, it's fake it till you make it. I'm like,
right,
sure. Like, I've never,
of course,
I've never done a huge mural before. And like, and when I started, I'm like, this could be a complete disaster, because it's in public. If I mess this up, I'm like, you know, it's kind of hard to hide this. And then I did one. And actually, one of my first murals was J&L Harley Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
I did one for them, and I did this whole stop motion video. And every time that I would share that, like, the phone would ring. Like, it was just amazing. So, yeah.
That's excellent. In the meantime, when you're not drawing for money.
Yeah.
or painting.
And it's not about the money, sure.
But when you're not doing that.
Yeah.
Do you still take time to draw on your own just for fun? And if you do, is it the same work you do?
Very great question. Now, you know, I was a program director for a lot of years. And so, you know, not art related. And I think any business there, how important research and development is, like, so important. So, you know, if you've got a great product and you just keep doing it, and which you can, there's a lot of businesses that do that, like, they don't change. But as an artist, you know, just to be fulfilled, I always want to do that. And at this point, was not too long ago, was one of the first times where I'm like, I'm so busy with commissions that I really haven't had time to play.
Right.
And develop. So when you sell something, you need a product. Like, the person needs to know what they're getting. So you have to say, you know, like, so if you do a caricature and you do something totally out of left field and they're like, oh, like, that's not what I want, you know, you just end up doing it again. But if you are playing and you do something totally out of left field and somebody sees that and they say, that's what I want, you know, then you've got something. And so when I play, I am an artist that I like to be given the box. Like, I'll think outside the box, but I like to, when somebody says do a mural and you can do anything you want, I'm just like, good Lord, like that's too much for me. Like, I'm like, you know, like, it's hard to, I'm like, I need something. Just so I know, you know, that it's what they want and matches the community and or whatnot. But so I do enjoy having assignments. You know, I know you're into music, and I was having the thought coming down here of relating that to music, where you've got a musician that maybe is a songwriter but can't sing their own own songs. I think it's the same in the art world, where there's some people that are technically so fantastic, but they can't draw from imagination, or, you know, like, and you know, make up their own stuff. But if somebody says, hey, this is the story and I want this, then they're like, bam, you know, they can knock it out in 2 seconds. And I'm probably leaning more towards that. I do like to, you know, try to come up with my own stuff. But is that true in the radio world too? Are there DJ or radio personalities that just like to read the top 10?
Oh, true.
And then there's others that are creating a...
It's very much, you know, people go in and in the morning they will find a list of all the popular topics and so forth, and just take the little paragraph of them and so forth. So, yeah, every business has, you know, different ways of going about things and so forth. But it's been fun chatting with you. Just a few more things kind of want to hit on. First of all, how can people find you? Where should they look? What should they be doing so that you can get more more commissions here?
Yeah. Well, my last name's
Bennis. My cut's only 10%, all right. Chuck.
Another character. All right. My last name's Bennis. So it's like tennis, the game, but with a B's and boy. And so Bennis Art Studios is my handle. And Instagram is where I post most of my process. So most of my stuff gets dumped there. And then I had to make a Facebook page. I held out for as long as I could, and I don't post much to it, but I have Bennis Art Studios Facebook page too. And also that's a good way to message me. And I always like, you know, if you have an idea for something, Like our friend that just walked up from Wood Grain, you know, if they see something that I've done and they're like, I'd like you to, you know, do it for this. I love things like that.
You
I'm
are
always being surprised of what people want my stuff on. And so
you are a very upbeat, and passionate and fun person. So what's been the most fun you've ever had when it comes to your art?
You know, I have kids, and so when my art makes an impact on not only my kids but other kids, you know, getting that inspiration, you can't beat that. I mean, holy cow! I've done some presentation, you know, assembly presentations, and that's always so exciting. And my kids, you know, they're still young enough where, you know, I'm kind of superhero dad still. And so when they see one of my big murals and they're giggling and jumping up and down and my dad did that, like,
oh, wow.
Like, you know, you don't have to pay me. Like I should be
what
paying.
What more does a person
yeah,
need?
What
right?
more do you need? And so, so those are the most exciting things. So.
All right. So aside from your own art, what do you like to go out and look for in art or entertainment?
I love music. I'm a huge consumer of music. I listen to everything. And so I love seeing live things, which I'm definitely missing right now.
It's been tough.
But, you know, even before that with kids, it's super difficult. So I consume as much live things that I can on online and support that way. And then, you know, in the art community, you know, going to art openings or the South Dakota Artists Association will have sketch group things. We have a life drawing group, and those art related things are exciting to me. So,
All right. Well, Chuck Bennis, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, not just for the time today, but also the great job you did on the caricatures of this one, and certainly appreciate it. And trust me, we'll be doing more things together
in
that, okay?
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Yep, take care, everybody.
You do the same. And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again to my great guests, Ruben Rodriguez and Mr. Chuck Bennis. Pleasure to have both of them on. Oh, I tell you what, next week, by the way, we're going to be talking with a great musician, and then we're also going to talk a little fun facts about baseball, because Major League Baseball is returning. Won't tell you any more. We'll just keep it quiet and let you come back and listen again. That's the way this show works. And also, thank you to Wood Grain for allowing us to record there. It's always such a pleasure to see all those people down there. They are great, and we are so happy to have them as part of this show. Also, thank you to our regular sponsors, including, yes, Books and Brews Pizzeria, where you can win pizza with a podcaster. Don't forget to get signed up for that at DaveHollyHour.com. Then we have the Sky Lounge and Tea, where I will be tomorrow night, Friday night, 7 o'clock. It's Sky Lounge Trivia, brought to you by the Dave Holly Hour. And this week, it's going to be all about game shows and talk shows.
Maybe think of Sally Raphael Jesse or Sally Jesse Raphael. She was the one. The other one was an improper name. It's thinking about the red glasses that got me off track there. Also, thank you to XL Chiropractic. They're going to have some big news coming up soon. We'll tease you with that. And then, of course, the wonderful people that work at Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue. All these people, they just all take care of me in such great ways. All right. As I mentioned, tomorrow night, I will be at the Sky Lounge. Tonight, however, heading to the Barrel House, 7 p.m., my buddy, one of the FOTS friends of the show, Boston Steve, he's going to be playing with Victor Faini at the Barrel House outside at 7 o'clock, weather permitting. So there's some things for you to take in, but make sure you check out Facebook and so forth and find out all the great entertainment things taking place throughout the Sioux Empire. And don't forget, I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.